Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning in awe of your love. I know I do. I don't understand how you can give yourself in such a way to love your betrayers, to love those who deny you, but you do. Your word says that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. And Lord, we have missed the mark many times. I have missed the mark many times, and yet you continue to pour your love into me and into those around me, into my family, into this community. And we just stand back and we say, how? Why? And we say, thank you. Lord, be with us now as we look into your word, into John chapter 13. May we understand what we are to understand and feel what we are supposed to feel and know what we are supposed to know. In your name we pray, amen. Read with me starting at verse 31 of chapter 13. Oh, but first, today, thank you, Brad. Today, Jesus will give us a new command, and I found some new commandments. The Minnesotan version of the... This will help my tears, okay? The Minnesota version of the Ten Commandments. There's only one God, you know. Don't make that fish on your mantle an idol. Cussing ain't Minnesota nice. Number four, go to church even when you're up north. Honor your folks. Don't kill. Always catch and release. There's only one Lena for every Oli. No cheating, you hear me? My parents do a live retelling of Oli and Lena. They dress up as them and everything. So that one has... They're great examples. If it ain't your lutefisk, don't take it. Don't be bragging about how much snow you shoveled. Especially this weekend. Keep your mind off your neighbor's hot dish. I thought that was pretty funny. Pretty funny. And for those of you who don't come from that culture, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry about the lutefisk. growing up, my grandpa used to tell Ole and Lena jokes constantly, all the time. He always had one or two waiting for us. And Jesus, in this text, is going to give us a new command. He's going to give us a new commandment. So let's watch out for that as we read. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay my life down for you." And Jesus answered, "Will you really lay your life down for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me, you will deny me three times." And that is this is the end of chapter 13, a chapter in which Jesus, Lord and Master, puts on a servant's towel. He washes the feet of his disciples. He gives what is known as his final discourse. And in these scriptures today, Jesus closes that discourse. Well, it's going to continue on in the next chapter, but reminding us that he has been and will be glorified. He gives the disciples a new command. He makes a shocking prediction about Peter. The second half of John is sometimes called, chapter 12 through 21, the Book of Glory. And these are key chapters in which contain the discourses of Jesus in terms of what is even meant by glory. What is glory? What is God's glory? We see in the teachings and actions of Jesus. The Lord and Master washes the feet of his disciples. These discourses in particular help us see the breadth and width and depth of Jesus' love. Something we sang about earlier. Jesus' love for his disciples, his love for us, and his love for the world. Today I want to focus in on these verses to encourage us to build our faith. In today's scripture from the Gospel of John, Jesus gives us, like I said, a new command. It's not the Minnesota version of the Ten Commandments. It's something better. I want to answer that question. Because at the face of it, the new command that Jesus has laid out doesn't appear to be new. But we're going to look and see what is new about this command that Jesus is giving. Last week we saw that Judas was offered to dip bread with Jesus. We looked at Ruth and how Ruth was offered to dip bread with Boaz. And Boaz offering that to Ruth was an act of great love and affection. Jesus offers to dip bread with Judas. Jesus loves Judas despite the betrayal he knows is going to happen. And Jesus, for one, here we see, turns betrayal into glory. He turns betrayal into glory. This moment here in the text reminded me of Joseph. You know the story of Joseph. Joseph was the youngest brother of 12 brothers, favored by his older father, given a coat of many colors. Joseph had dreams that he shared with his older brothers that said, one day you're going to serve me, one day you're going to bow to me. The brothers didn't like that. So the brothers took Joseph and they sold him into slavery. Eventually, Joseph ends up in a pit, nearly about to die. He gets taken to Egypt and through a series of events ends up in prison for nearly a decade. He begins interpreting dreams in jail and he interprets the dreams of Pharaoh and then is lifted up to second in command. Then is put back in jail after Potiphar's wife accuses him of wrongdoing. He goes back to jail. God raises him up yet again through all of this. And he becomes second in command over all of Egypt. We know the end of the story. Spoiler alert. There's a famine in Israel, right? And the brothers, those who sold Joseph, who betrayed their younger brother, come to Pharaoh's court and seize their Pharaoh's second in command. They don't recognize Joseph yet. Presumably Joseph has on Egyptian garb. Joseph, however, sees his brothers. And he says this incredible, incredible line, right? Joseph replied, "Don't be afraid. Do I act for God? Don't you see you planned evil against me? But God used those same plans for my good. As you see all you around you right now, life for many people." This is from the Message. "Easy now. You have nothing to fear. I'll take care of you and your children." He reassured them, speaking with them heart to heart. So the very people that had betrayed him, his own family, he takes care of them. He reassures them. And he, not yet having revealed who he is yet to them, does eventually reveal who he is to his brothers. What an amazing thing that the things that people plan for evil against us can be made for good. And I like how the Message puts it there. "Don't you see? You planned evil against me, but God used those same plans for my good." Jesus knows the plans of Judas. And he says, you know what? Those same plans, that's going to turn into my glorification. That's where you're going to see me lifted up on the cross. Secondly, Jesus loves so that we may love one another. This command to love one another comes by way of the Old Testament. The word one another. Or when we go back to Leviticus 19:18, we see love your rea. Rea means friend, companion, neighbor. In Exodus 18:7, Moses seeks out his father-in-law, kisses his feet, greets his rea with shalom. So Moses, fond of his father-in-law, kisses his feet, has a greeting of shalom, how are you, in all the possible ways that you can be, and then they go into the tent and have a long conversation and a meal together. It's a picture of great hospitality, of great friendship, of companionship and friendship. Rea, rea. Love your rea as yourself. Rea is not just a relational term like friend, however. If we look further out into the various parts of the Torah, we see that rea appears as a legal term. Such in the Old Testament, before rea pulls up many instances, a search pulls up many instances of rea in relation to legal things. So Leviticus, let me get this up here. So there's Exodus 18. There's the commandments now. So if you pull up Exodus 20 or Deuteronomy 5, where the Ten Commandments there are listed, you'll see don't covet your rea. Don't covet your neighbor, your friend, your companion. Don't covet. Love your neighbor as yourself, says the Leviticus. At 19, one scholar, Jacob Milgram, who's a Jewish scholar, sees in Leviticus a series of rings, and the rings that are conscribing around the center of Leviticus end up at 19, chapter 19. And at the center, the very center of Leviticus is this command, love your neighbor, love your rea. So it's quoted at least 8 times in the New Testament, love your neighbor, and hinted at in many others. And it wasn't new to the Jews, and it's not new to us, certainly, here today. So what is new? What is new? If Jesus is going to love us into newness, what is new about this command? It says, just doing some searching, this too is a question that many people have when they read the scripture, because other times, Jesus doesn't call this a new command. He calls it an old command. But what is particularly new here? The newness of this command, I believe, having just gone through this moment where Jesus offers bread and wine to his followers, where he is beginning to describe what he's going to do on the cross, is that the newness is that Jesus is about to inaugurate the new covenant. Jesus enters into our world, and that is new. We began with a new creation. How do you say verse 1 of John chapter 1? In the beginning was the Word. That's new. Because for a long time it said in the beginning there was the heavens and the earth. Now in the beginning there is the Word. Now the Word becomes flesh. And this newness, God's very presence is internal to our experience. Let me explain. Jeremiah, about 500-600 years prior to the time of Christ, predicts this new covenant. He says in Jeremiah 31, "Return, O virgin Israel, return to these your cities. How long will you waver, O faithless daughter? For the Lord has created a new thing on the earth." And in this prophecy, Jeremiah predicts that a birth will happen. He says, a woman encompasses a man. A woman encompasses a man. Something is about to be born that will be new as Israel returns back to God. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jeremiah 31:23. Once more they shall use these words in the land of Judah and its towns and restore, and I will restore their fortunes. They will use these words, the Lord bless you, O abode of righteousness, O holy hill. See, during the time of Jeremiah, they could not look at Jerusalem and say, it is a holy hill, because it had been polluted by idols. Continues in verse 24, and Judah and all its towns shall live there, and the farmers and those who wander with their flocks will, I will satisfy the weary, and I and all who faint, I will replenish. And then here comes the big one, in 31:31. So if you remember that, Jeremiah 31:31 is the scripture of the new covenant in Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be that that's the north and the south. There, Jeremiah is talking about the whole of Israel. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this, Jeremiah says, is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will put my law within them. And I will write it on their hearts. And they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to one another, know the Lord. For they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their sin and remember it no more. Jesus is loving us into newness. If you've ever worked on an old house, you know what it means to love something into newness. I've been working on an old house, and Stephen's been working on it. Is Stephen in here? Stephen's been working on an old house. The walls aren't square. The ceilings are different heights. The windows that are there. And Greg Howell told me that every single window in his house is a different size. Is that Greg? Oh, he's with the kids. Every single window is a different size and a custom shape. Now, we've been working on this house over on Tyler for several months now and loving it into newness. It takes love. It takes patience. And we are like those new houses that Jesus is continually remodeling. He is a carpenter after all, is he not? I'm not saying Jesus is remodeling the old covenant. No, this is new, something new. The sheetrock is new. The floor is new. And even, yes, the water that will flow through those pipes will be brand new. It will be a water from which we drink and will not thirst again. The only requirement of this new covenant is that we accept the love and forgiveness that Jesus has for us. That we walk in that love and it brings us newness of life. But here's where the command is new. He says, love one another as I have loved you. See, God had never loved quite in the same way that he had loved through his son, Jesus. God had never become a man. God had never entered into the creation before. And in Christ, he enters into the very creation that he made. Just let that sink in just a bit. See, the command was from heaven, love one another. Now the command is from heaven and earth, love one another. Prior, the command was from heaven, saying, do this, do that. Now the command is from heaven and earth, saying, follow me. Follow me. Do as I have done. Love as I have loved. And what is that love? Love that ends up on a cross. Love as I have loved. That is the new command. That is the new thing going on here. And it is huge. It is significant. Jesus loves us through failure into faithfulness. Let's look at that little section with Peter here. Now, Peter, as you know, will deny Christ three times. We know that from the other gospel accounts. But Peter is excited. He's like, okay, Jesus, I'm ready to love you. I'll die for you. Just like he wouldn't let Jesus wash his feet just a few verses before. Jesus said, if you don't let me wash your feet, you'll have no part in me. Peter is excited. He's excited about the love of God. I'm ready to lay my life down for you. Jesus says, nope, I'm not that kind of God. I'm not that kind of Lord. I'm not that kind of master. I'm going to lay my life down for you. I'm not that kind of Lord. I'm going to serve you. Jesus is working on that old house called Peter. He's working on you and me. He's remodeling piece by piece until it's a new creation altogether. The quickest way to get our eyes off God is to think about what others think of us more than we think of what God thinks of us. And here Peter is thinking more about what he's thinking than what Jesus is thinking. He's not on the same wavelength. God does not see a failure when he looks at Peter, though he says, "You will deny me." Others might see Peter as a failure. Jesus didn't see him that way. He loved Peter into faithfulness. Jesus didn't dwell on it. In fact, by saying three times, Jesus kind of puts a limit on it. And I'm thinking, if Jesus said to me, "You'll deny me three times," I'd be like, "All right, is that all? Just three times? That would be great." Right? Yeah, there you go. Peter's the guy who walked on water. He should know by now, right? He should know. And we are like Peter. But only three times, consider that. After Jesus' death and resurrection, it is Peter who takes on the mission to the Gentiles. It is Peter who becomes an incredible follower of the Lord. It is just three times that he denies Jesus. I think it's there to consider. The failure, my failure, your failure, is limited as much as you might feel like your faith is limited. There is a rock bottom. And if you've been there, you know it. Peter is going to hit rock bottom. It's interesting that a chapter so focused on love, where commands to love are given, we have just these two instances of not only denying Jesus, but betraying him altogether. Judas betrayed Jesus. Peter will deny him three times. Jesus knew what Judas was going to do. He calls it out. He draws it out of Judas. He reveals to Judas and the rest, this is possible. And this is going to happen. Jesus knew what Peter was going to do. He calls it out. He fulfills it. And when we together as the church confess our sin together, we say, this is possible. I had someone this week confess some things to me that blew my mind about that person. They had said some things that was totally against the grain of character that I saw in that person. And I wish I wasn't as shocked as I was, because I know that I'm capable of the same. None of us are Judas, but all of us are Judas. None of us are Peter, but all of us are Peter. Jesus wants to love us through our failures and into faithfulness. We can only temporarily betray God. We can only temporarily deny God. Jesus' love now turns betrayal into glory. Jesus' love says, love one another as I have loved you. Jesus' love loves us into newness. Jesus' love loves us through failure and into faithfulness. Please pray with me. God, we see the example of Judas and Peter laid out before us. Peter denies that he knows Jesus. Judas denies who Jesus is. Those are two different things, but yet the same. And so, Lord, whether we are denying who you are, or we are denying that we know you, Lord, we pray and we ask for your help. We pray that we would be overwhelmed by your love, that it, through this story we could recognize that you have already forgiven Judas, you've already forgiven Peter. You've already reached out your hand in shalom and friendness and companionship. And that all we need to do is turn to you today. Lord, we pray that you would help us to understand just how wide and how deep and how great your love is for us. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have as a church to show this love to the world, to demonstrate that very love that you have for us, and that you have called us to be a church based on this new command to love others as you have loved us. So now, Lord, we think and we pray and we move our minds outward into this community, into the city, and into our world that we might love this world and love our community, love our friends, love our neighbors, love our companions, those living next to us and near us as you have loved us. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.